Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Please join me in welcoming and thanking new patrons. Willette Hill, Teresa McPhillamy, Kelly Lamont, Devin Crow, Melissa Asatori, and Lyle Gruber. All patrons enjoy early commercial-free access to all episodes. From there, tiers also include an additional 1 to 4 weekly bonus episodes, immediate access to all previously posted bonus episodes for their tier, which is up to about 1,200 at the $7 a month level, and logo merch. Memberships are either month by month or yearly, and if you sign up for the full year, you get 12 months for the price of 11. To see how you can support the show and be rewarded for it, please check out the donation tiers at patreon.com/creepypod. A little bit of a shorter episode today with the chaos of the holiday season and all, but I didn't want to miss providing you all content either. No rest for the wicked, right? Whether you celebrate this time of year or, like me, wish it was Halloween, from all of us at Creepy, wishing you all a safe and happy end of 2023. Now.
This is Creepy, a podcast dedicated to sharing the most famous, chilling, and disturbing creepypastas and urban legends in the world. Whether these stories truly happened or are simply fabrications is for you to decide. These stories may contain graphic depictions of violence and explicit language. Listener discretion is advised.
Creepy presents White Christmas. Written by Locked334. Living in Lower Alabama, we rarely receive snow. I spent most of my life wishing for a white Christmas. A white Christmas that never came. I've only seen snow twice in my 33 years here. I always wanted to share that with my boys. I just knew that they would love to play in it. Now I find myself staring out my window at the mounds of that icy precipitation surrounding my home, regretting every wish I had ever made for a snow-covered Christmas. When I think about it, it really started in summer. Our summers are always hot and extremely humid, but that year is even more unbearable. We steadily saw temperatures of well over 100 degrees, and everyone I knew begged for relief. The heat wave lasted all the way until the week before Halloween. Then, suddenly, a massive hurricane spawned in the Gulf of Mexico. The weather forecaster for our local news frequently referred to it as a monster. Looking back, I would believe it was more of a demon. A demon that brought hell with it. But a much different one than I'd read about in the Bible. The storm passed, leaving devastation for miles around. It had affected every state within the southeast, but Florida most of all. Help was sent from various utility companies, government aid agencies, and even regular citizens to help with the relief. And when I say various, I mean from every state in our region. It was amazing to see the effort put forth to help the people that had lost everything. And I'm sure a lot of us thought that was the worst it could get. I wish that had been true. But that was when the rain started. As November came, we felt the first droplets in our tiny town. It was an odd occurrence, but not odd enough to raise any eyebrows. I mean, how bad could a couple days of rain be, right? The problem came when days turned into weeks, and the low-lying areas became flooded. Homes in town nearby were washed away in a matter of hours once the levees broke. My wife Susan constantly thanked God that our house was nestled on a high elevation among trees. I found myself thinking the same thing, but God had nothing to do with what happened. No God I could ever believe in anyway. The week of Thanksgiving, the rain finally subsided, and I'm sure that was something everyone would say they were thankful for. The problem was, what remained was the cold. That in itself was not strange, but the severity of it was. We saw temperatures close to freezing for the following week. That was something we rarely saw until late January or early February. My oldest son Jacob began singing that silly song by Bing Crosby. My wife beamed at the thought of them seeing snow on Christmas Day. The foolish child in me felt the same. "The boys will finally get to see snow, Paul," Susan squealed. "I know. I can't wait to see Tommy waddling in it," I responded. Those words ring in my head even now. I have to fight back tears when I think of just how stupid I'd been. We were so preoccupied with setting up decorations and buying presents that we were oblivious to what was happening all around us. The snow actually started falling the first week of December. It was up several inches within the first day. It was amazing to see at first, but when it kept coming, some people became worried. If you've never been in the South when it snows, you probably wouldn't understand. You see, we are not prepared for that kind of weather. Everything shuts down. People stay home and rarely go out driving. I know it sounds ridiculous to anyone else, but that's what happens. It just kept coming. My wife and I had let the boys play in the fresh powder originally, but when it gotten so high that I could barely walk in it freely, we decided it was best to keep them indoors. Hardware stores had started bringing in snow shovels to help clear paths. Something that you rarely found in our town. I bought one of the last ones on the shelf as people scrambled to manage the icy foreign invader. The situation seemed to become worse as small flurries became near blizzards. My wife stayed glued to the news and weather broadcasts. It appeared the northern states had almost been buried in the frigid powder. The president had actually issued a state of emergency, urging people in the northern portion to evacuate south. That was when I finally started to be concerned. These people had been told to come south, but our situation was hardly any better. The weatherman stopped trying to be accurate. His predictions of an end of the madness never came. The temperatures continued to drop, and it was not long before we saw them go from zero to negative digits. It was unheard of in my state for it to be that cold, and people were getting afraid. Plumbing fixtures began to burst from frozen pipes, and people were left without water until they could thaw. Our world had become a freezer in a few weeks, and none of us were prepared for it. My family found themselves wearing our thickest clothing even inside. It felt like no matter how high I set the thermostat, it was not enough. we should have left then. By Christmas, we had no power, and utility companies had stopped trying to traverse the harsh conditions to repair down lines. Local officials had abandoned emergency protocols to save themselves. We began hearing rumors of our neighbors attempting to head further south into Florida. Susan suggested the same, but I reminded her of the destruction still left from the hurricane. I was afraid we'd be worse off without shelter. So, I made the decision to hunker down in our home. I cleared a path to the fireplace that had only been used for decoration and set to the task of getting a fire going. If it wasn't such a dire situation, my wife would have found amusement in me attempting something like that. I'd never even seen someone use a fireplace, let alone light one. After several attempts, we were available to burn what little wood that was readily available near our home. My family and I huddled around it as if it was going to save us from the fate that waited outside. The whiteness had engulfed our home. The mounds had risen above the windows, breaking some of them. I was forced to reinforce each one to keep the cold out. We sealed every crack or crevice that could possibly let out the heat and tried to remain together. My wife wrapped our children in blankets and pulled them close. The boys didn't understand, and we were afraid to tell them how serious the situation was. The fear that rested on my wife's face was enough to keep me from ruining what could be our last Christmas. We still attempted to have a big dinner, despite our ability to effectively cook. I also learned how to cook within a fireplace for the first time. It would have been an interesting experiment if it had not been essential for our survival at the time. We gave up on the idea of turkey or ham, but we had always had a decent stock of canned food. It was a habit I had picked up from my grandparents. I often wondered how they were faring during all this, but I had my immediate family to worry about. Our world had been plunged into an endless sea of white. I even had nightmares of the stuff that Christmas Eve. My children normally woke me early on Christmas morning, but when my eyes flared open, I assumed it was still night. The house was so dark that I could barely see my wife lying next to me. I slowly rose from my bed, still completely clothed, and nudged Susan awake. The house had become far colder than it should have been, and I immediately headed for the fireplace. The fire had gone out at some point, so I ran for the back door, pulling on my boots. My aim was to gather more wood and get the fire going again. But as soon as the door cracked open, I was pelted with a mixture of snow and ice. It stung my face, and I cursed at the door while trying to shut it again. Our home had been buried in the vicious powder, and I finally understood why no light permeated the windows. My watch read 9 o'clock, but it felt much earlier. Susan stumbled into the living room, asking what I was doing. I told her what time it was, and confusion filled her eyes. She went for the window and was greeted with what I already knew. I don't remember ever seeing her quite so afraid, and the feeling was mutual. I buried my emotions down, though, knowing I had to be strong for my family. I told her to go check on the kids while I tried to get the fire going again. She disappeared down the hall, and I made my way to the dining room. The table and chairs had been passed down through my family for generations, but I knew it would have to be sacrificed. I set to dismantling the wooden chairs first, but was stopped by the sound of my wife's scream. I rushed through the hall, listening to the awful sound echo in my ears. I could feel tears forming in my eyes, but I pushed them back as I rounded the corner. She was grasping the doorframe of our children's room. We'd put them together so that Jacob could help keep an eye on Tommy. I could see her body shaking as she stared into the room. Tears rolled over her cheeks as I turned to see inside. The window of their room had given to the weight of our captor, despite my attempt at strengthening it. Snow had buried the boys in the night, and that was when I noticed the flakes of white all over my wife's hands. Susan had attempted to uncover them, and I could see the pale blue skin of their faces, huddled together in Jacob's bed. It would have been a sweet scene if it were not for their skin tone. Something Susan would have taken a picture of. But this was not that scene. I pulled Susan away as I tried to hold back the sick feeling in my stomach. I felt as though I could release what little Christmas dinner I had in me on the floor at any moment. Soon her sobs subsided, but when I looked into her eyes, she simply looked numb. I'd never seen her this way, and I tried to break her from this trance she seemed to be in, but she said nothing. Her eyes would not even turn my direction when I spoke. Something had broken inside Susan that morning, and I do not blame her. I sat her next to the fireplace and wrapped her in a blanket while I returned to the dining room. The polished wood did not want to burn, but I was determined to give us warmth. So I did not stop until we had fire. I made it a point to ask Susan to stay by the fire while I returned to the boys' room. I couldn't leave him that way, but when I reached the door, I found myself pausing just outside. I felt the warm and salty specks across my cheeks before I even saw him. I stepped slowly inside and slipped my gloves over my hands. I finished clearing away the snow and noticed why they had not simply come to our room. The wood I had used to seal off the window had struck my oldest first. It left a gash near his temple that would have knocked a grown man unconscious. I could only imagine his 10-year-old body had not lasted long after. Tommy had obviously woken after. His tiny form clung to his big brother like a teddy bear. I internally cursed myself for not putting them to bed with us that night, but I knew it was too late for that kind of thinking. I removed their bodies and wrapped them in blankets before placing them in the guest room. I took one final look at their tiny bedroom, a place that had held so much joy previously. I imagined the two of them playing and sometimes bickering. My lips tried to curl upward, but they could not. My eyes dropped to the floor as I turned away and shut the door. I have not returned to that room since, and I doubt I will. I just returned to the living room in hopes of comforting Susan. When I got there, the blanket was all that remained by the fire. A quick search of the house revealed that the back door had been opened and a tunnel had formed in the frigid wall on the other side, leaving the floor inside covered in snow. I tried to follow Susan's footsteps, but eventually they disappeared behind a solid wall of that cursed white. I could only imagine her frantically digging through it and the sound of what was above coming down upon her body. I tried to dig into it myself in search of her body, but the layer that remained was frozen solid. It was like I was digging my hands into cement. And I knew that Susan could not have survived it, even if my mind didn't want to believe it at the time. I found myself picking at it with tools anyway, feeling as though I had nothing left to do. I don't know how much I cried while working at that pointless task, but I do know it started to freeze to my cheeks. I did not stop until my arms could not lift again. And that is when I sat among the snow and stared at what my world had become. I lost track of how long I sat there, or when I decided to come back to the fire. I do remember when I started burning the Christmas gifts, and how hard a choice that had been. I opened each one slowly, and savored the idea of the children playing with it for the first time. I could even see Susan standing over them with her camera in hand. She'd be giving her biggest smile and snapping away to save each memory. She loved taking pictures, but what I had to do did not need to be captured on any sort of film. I started to feel the numbness that night, the same numbness that overtook Susan earlier that day. It was as cold as the snow that surrounded me, and all I could think was that this had been my fault. I should have escaped with my family when I still had the chance. I don't know if it was pride, ignorance, or both, but the guilt was too much. It consumed me and took away everything this holiday was supposed to be about. I started writing this in hopes that someone reads it. I do not know what has happened to the rest of the world. Only what's happened to me. I do not know how long I can survive here. My food is running low, and I've run out of things to burn. I can't even say for certain how long I've been here since my watch has stopped turning, and I still cannot see the sun. I think I'll try to dig myself out tomorrow. And if you do find this, no, I did not simply give up. I just wish I'd done this sooner. I am so sorry, Susan, Jacob, and Tommy. You deserved better than this. I hope you can forgive me. Sincerely, Paul Richardson.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
For your bonus episode, 'Twas the Fright Before Christmas. 'Twas the night before Christmas when all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a louse. The traps were all set by the chimney with care, in hopes that St. Nicholas would soon step there. The children were nestled all snug in their beds, while nightmares of body parts danced in their heads. And Mama with her hatchet and I with my axe had just settled down for a little nightcap. When out on the lawn there arose such a clatter, I sprang from my chair to see what made the splatter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters and ripped through the sash. The moon on the breast of the blood-stained snow gave a hideous glow to objects below. When what to my wandering eye should appear, the watchman was dead with a knife in his ear. There on the lawn knelt a man rather thick. The blood on his coat told me he was Saint Nick. More rapid than vultures, he sprang to his feet. This zombified Santa was hungry for meat. "Where are the children? I want them now. Bring them down to me, you ugly fat cow. On time and impatient, I've come to your home. I hunger for brains, and I'm not alone." As dry leaves that before the wild hurricane fly, a legion of demons flew down from the sky. And up to the housetop this evil took roost, with red beady eyes and long pointy tooth. And then, in a heartbeat, I heard on the roof the digging and pawing of each demon hoof. As I drew in my hand and was turning around, down the chimney Saint Nicholas came down with a growl. He was dressed all the hair of the dead he had skinned, and his clothes were blood-stained from both women and men. With a bundle of cutlery hung on his back, he grabbed for a knife and began his attack. His eyes, they stared through me, his smile freaking scary. His nose was all wrinkled like an old rotten cherry. His droll little mouth was drawn up like a bow. He slashed at my leg and I fell to the floor. The stump of my limb he held tight in his teeth, and the blood seeped from it to white tile beneath. He had a cruel face and some blood on his beard. His expression was empty, for my life I now feared. He was ugly and evil, a sick little elf, and I knew things must change for my kids and myself. With my leg now missing, my wife surely dead, I pushed from the floor and kicked Nick in the head. He spoke not a word, but went straight on his back, and all the traps sprung just thunderous snap. Laying there writhing right where he fell, this bastard passed right through the doorway of hell. The demons then vanished. My children were safe. I sat there crying, beginning to faint. But before I passed out, I screamed with all might, "Scary Christmas to all, and to all, a good fright."
For more information on this podcast, including how to submit your own story for consideration, please visit creepypod.com. You can also follow us at CreepyPod on social media and YouTube. All stories told on this podcast are done so through Creative Commons Sharealike licensing or with written consent from the authors. No portion of this podcast may be rebroadcast or otherwise distributed without the express written consent of the Creepy Podcast production team and the story's author.